Morning, Rabbi Sai. So, we learned yesterday Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer, who I think lived in the early 1700s, is about 500 years later than Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. He writes something along the lines of, it sounds like, he doesn't approve of the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid, he doesn't argue with it, but he says that you don't really need to worry about it, and this idea of taking a chicken, and a male chicken, a female chicken, and shechting them all, etc., he doesn't seem to like the whole idea, and he wrote, Tov Yosef Shaloi Lochosh Lidvorim Hoelu. He says, better not to worry about these things. And he said, Avada, if you build a house of stone, it's probably better to sit and learn Torah in it and do mitzvahs rather than to put a family of chickens into the house and then shech them the next day. There's a sefer called Shivim Tomorim. The sefer Shivim Tomorim was written by somebody called Harav Chaim Shimon Dov. It's a sefer that was written Al Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. He wrote a commentary on the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid. He says, Levaya in the Yashiv, the reason why he wrote it, I saw the cover of the Sefer of Shivin Tomorim. He writes, Yashiv es asher nirim bereshis ha'ashkofo shehemo neged ha'talmud. He said that it seems that there are many things that the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid wrote, which at first glance appear to be against things that are written in the Gemara. Yeah, it says that ba'ashkofo rishoyna, you would think that they're against it, he says. And therefore, he wrote the Sefer Ulevar Shekach Mavua Batalmud Bavli Yerushalmi Midroshim Poiskim Shalat Shuvas Rishonim Vachronim. He said, I've come along in order to prove that all the words of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid were genuine and correct and did not contradict the Gemara in Bavli, Yerushalmi, and other places. So the Shimon Tamar writes as follows. He says that he can't imagine that the Chassam Sofer was rejecting the words of Rabbi Yehuda Chosid completely. First, Rabbi Yehuda Chosid was a Rishon and 500 years before him. And secondly, we learned three very good reasons why Rabbi Yehuda Chosid said what he said about not building a permanent house, especially not in Chutz La'aretz. So he says as follows. He says, we understood from what the Chassam Sofer said that he was rejecting the whole concept altogether. He says, no. He says, the idea that you shouldn't build a house of stone, and especially not in Chutz La'aretz, he said, that idea stands. And even the Chassam Sofer is moida to that. The only thing that the Chassam Sofer was arguing with was that this takona of putting a male and a female chicken, putting a whole family of chickens into the house the first time that it's occupied and then shechting them the next day in order, so to speak, to fulfill the curse similar to what we do by Kaporos, he said that the Chassam Sofer was arguing with. The Chassam Sofer said, if you built a house stone, the Chassam Sofer was maskim to the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid that you shouldn't build the Chatzchila, a house out of stone, especially not in Chutz La'aretz. But if you did, then the only thing that, according to the Shimon Tamarim, his understanding of the Chassam Sofer's objection is only this takona, how to correct it, how to, so to speak, cleanse the house of the curse by putting the chickens in overnight. So that chelik of it, the Chassam Sofer wasn't maskim to. But the ikka takona, the Chassam Sofer sticks with. Then we've got another thing to look at, which we'll look at tomorrow, which is that if you're going to live in the house without a takona, how long can you get away with it? That we'll see tomorrow, Bleida.
started at Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Cafe Teves, 14th of January, Rabbi Danny Kirsch, Shlita, hands upwards. This week's Torah was sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Ari Bloom in honor of the birth of their grandson, Yaakov Chanuch. To Mr. and Mrs. Danny Bloom, Yit Rotson, Shizkul Agadol, Zosor Luchop, Lamas, and Tovim, Velinishmas, our esteemed founder, Rabbi Yosef Dov Ben, Rabbi Shem Luchol, Tzvi, Yitzkivitz, Rabbi Luchol.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I had the outside at the beginning of the week for my father, Zichron Livracha. So when I was thinking about sharing some ideas with you, I was inspired by the pasuk which identifies his name. And he really identified his whole personality as well. His Hebrew name was Shlomo ben Yitzhak HaKohen. And of course, we're all aware of the fact that everybody has their own pasukim, their own pasuk, which has got their names. And one of the names that starts with a shin or a sin and finishes with a hey is a pasuk, Se'u Yedeichem Kodesh. Lift up your hands, Kodesh, for Inyoni Kedusha, Beis Amigdush, Uvarach Es Hashem, and bless HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And that was his pasuk identifying his name. And in fact, it identified him very much as a person, Baruch Hashem Kohenim. So we would be often lifting up our hands in Kodesh. And if we have time, I'll point out a very important aspect of our family's growth, which was affected by the fact that we're Kohenim. And also, interestingly enough, my father made gloves. So, Su'i Deichim Kodesh is if you're able to somehow connect the physical and the spiritual world with your name as well. Amazing. And I don't know if his parents realized this, but of course, having been born in Germany, had a good German name, which was Hans. Which we always found quite interesting in terms of his name. But when it comes to understanding hands in this week's Sedra, there is so much which revolves around our hands. When it comes to the plague of lice, it comes by Yomra HaChatumim El Paroi, and eventually the Chatumim had to accept that, you know, the Eibishter has got some extraordinary keichos over here. Etzbo Elokim Hi. It's the finger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way they describe the Nes, the way they describe the Makkah, it's the finger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ramban and others describe why they didn't say it was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because they had to accept it was something, but they didn't want to say it's so powerful. If you'd say it was the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then already you're saying, oh, it's enormously powerful. So they begrudgingly accepted Etzbe Elokim Hu. And of course, in the Haggadah, Rabbi Yosef HaGalili Omer, Minayin Atomer Shelokhu HaMitzvah MiMitzrayim Eser Makos, Vala Yom Lokhu Chamishim Makos. He makes a calculation. How do you know that there were 10 Makos in Mitzrayim, but by the Yom there was Chamishim Makos? So he takes our Pasuk and he says as follows. By the Chatumim, in describing one of the Makos, it says, Etzbe Elokim Hi. Says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, when it comes to Parshas Beshalach and we described the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there we say the entire five fingers, the whole hand. So Yossi Aglili says as follows: if there were 10 makas when it came, and one makkah equals one finger, then the multiple of all the makkahs is 50, because then the five times 10 is 50, which must mean by the Adag Gedola, by the Kriyas Yam Sof, there must be 50. That's how he makes the calculation. But it's based on the fact that there's one finger, begrudgingly, in this week's Sedra, and a whole hand when it comes to Kriyas Yam Sof. Interesting enough, if you start looking in the Parsha, you begin to see there's an extraordinary references to lots of different aspects of the hands. Interesting enough, even though the Rabbi Yossi HaGalili does say his vort, as I've just described it beforehand, the Zohar has a fascinating insight when it comes to the fifth plague, which is Deva, because on the fifth plague, which was Deva, the Pasuk tells us as follows. Vayom Hashem al Moshe, bor el Paro, and speak to Paro, and tell him about what's going to happen next if they don't start behaving themselves. And there we say in Pasuk Gimel, v'nei Yad Hashem. Ah, There, in describing the Makkos, there it describes it as Yad Hashem, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it goes on to describe where HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand was. Basusim, Bechamurim, Begamolim, Baboke, Batzoin. Interesting enough, yeah? The Zohar points out that there it uses the word Yad, but we pointed out beforehand, we got the Etzpah. Says the Zohar, if you count out the different animals or groups of animals which were affected by the Dever, you've actually got five different groups of animals. And the Zohar said, Etzpah times five is an entire hand. Because what's the Loshon of the Pasuk in this week's Sedra? The Pasuk says, you've got the Susim, the Chamorim, the Gamalim, the Boker, and the Tzoin. And that's five. So there you've got the entire hand. Fascinating insights on the idea. When we were talking earlier about the earlier Makkos, you see, when it comes to Pasuk Yud Tes in Perek Zayin, Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Emor El Aharon, Hashem El Moshe, Emor El Aharon. So we know that the earlier Makkos, Aharon HaKohen had to do. Moshe was a Makir Tov, the Eibishter didn't want Moshe to be involved in the first three Makkos, which is also fascinating, just by the way, on the Haggadah, because of course the Baal Haggadah points out, Chazal say, Tzach Adash Barachov, right? What people fail to stop for a moment and realize is the first one, Tzach, is describing the three Makkos that Moshe couldn't do. The second three is the ones that Moshe did for, etc., etc. But in the first three, which Moshe couldn't do, the Pasuk starts off in the first one, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Emel Aaron, Kach Matcha, Unate Yodcha, Amei Mitzrayim. Take your staff and hold it out in front of it. And there again, the Pasuk describes it in terms of stretching your hand over. Now, there are lots of different ways of bringing Makkos. Why is it you had to take the staff, stretch out your hand? It's going to need some explanation. In the whole Olam of Dibber, Baruch She'amar V'Hayi Olam, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted things to happen in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just speaks it out. Why was it when he's telling Moshe to tell Aaron, you have to do some physical act, and why isn't it just lift up your knee? Why isn't it like nod your head? Why do you have to actually pick up your hand and put the staff over it as well? And this continues throughout the early Makkos as well, because we see a little bit later in the Makkah of, here we go, the Sephardim. Vayom Hashem El Moshe, Emor El Aharon, Neteis Yodcha B'matcha, take it and do it for the frogs as well. Exactly the same Loshon which is used. Not enough to speak, no other physical action, you have to take your mat and you have to take your hands, spread it out, and that's how the frogs are going to come. Then you see again, as we pointed out a little bit earlier, when it came to the kinim. But you see in the Pasuk, it makes it very, very clear. The Pasuk says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Emol Aharon, Neteis Matcha, right? Take out your staff, and then to the earth and the ground, and you'll see an extraordinary things from the dust. It's going to produce the kinim. There again, it's an union of taking the matter. It's an union of... So what's this whole idea that the Eibishter says that it has to be with a hand, it has to be with a staff? What's perhaps a limmer that we can have it? The truth is, if we go back to the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, and we look carefully at all the different events that brought him into the world, and we see the journey of Moshe Rabbeinu, we find out there that, of course, when Basya and Bisya goes to pick him up, you have the famous story of being seen in the water. And the Pasuk tells us, just one second please, I'll just be with you in a second. Yeah. The Pasuk says that she v'tishlach es amosa. She stretches out her amosa. Of course, there's a whole discussion, but Chazal bring down, what does it mean? That was the miracle of the only way to save Moshe Rabbeinu from the Nilus. The only way is to have a miracle that took place where the hand just grows and grows and grows and grows. Extraordinary. That was how Moshe Rabbeinu was taken out, Minamai Mishisio, by this extraordinary, and each year when it comes to it, we're telling our children and our grandchildren about this extraordinary thing, but it needs some thought. Why Dafka was Moshe Rabbeinu's life started and Moshe Rabbeinu's life saved by the movement of the hand. Just by the way, obviously the language which is used is Loshen Amosai, maidservant, but also means the Amma, the hand or part of the hand as well. It's also fascinating, those who've started the Dafayomi Menachos, to look that each part of the hand is given halachic importance as well, right? We point about the etzba, kmitza, which is all going to be part of this. Why it is, just fascinatingly, in the Avodas Hashem, your hands play such an extraordinary role in many areas of halacha as well. Another time. If you continue Moshe Rabbeinu's life, you'll see, again, the hands continuously play such an important role in everything that's happening in his life. Pasuk Yud Aleph. That an Ish Mitzri was beating up a Yid. And how did Chazal describing him? That he was physically assaulting him with his hands. That's interesting. So Moshe Rabbeinu's first interaction, Vayigdal Moshe, Moshe was feeling the pain, the sorrow, the burdens of his brothers. And he went out to them, and he saw the terrible thing. And then he sees a non-Jewish person beating up a Yid. Okay, very good. It's a mystery. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu deal with it? So we know that Chazal describe here that he used the Shem Hashem, but the Pasuk tells us, it's a mystery. He sees him and he beats him up. He hits him, he clobbers him. The Torah then goes on in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayetzer b'yom hasheni. So this is all in the interactions of the birth and growth of Moshe Rabbeinu as a leader, as the leader, par excellence of Klal Yisrael. And he sees somebody getting beaten up. He kills the person. And then again in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayetzer b'yom hasheni. What happens on the second day? V'nei shnei anoshim ivrim nitzin. The two Yidden fighting. V'yomer Moshe, lama sakei re'echa? Just raising up your hand against another person. Just lifting up your hand. Why are you lifting up your hand against a person? Why are you causing problems? Why are you hurting another person? And then Moshe Rabbeinu, oh my goodness me, there's some problems going on over here. So Moshe Rabbeinu's life was saved by the Torah emphasizing the extension of the hand. And Moshe Rabbeinu's involvement in the beginning of his leadership, which of course forced him to flee to Midian, is the fact that he himself uses his hand, and he describes the concern that he has that Yidden are using the hands as well. Lama sakareecha, why are you causing so much pain? And interesting enough, when you start looking at the journey that Moshe makes in becoming the leader of Klal Yisrael, it continues. And of course, you know, when we learn this, we learn the pesukim, we understand the pesukim. What we're trying to do is find some common denominator. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pierced him the snare. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him of his mission. Vayome Elav Hashem, Ma Zeh Biyodecha? What's this in your hand? Interesting. Here we go again. There's more hands which are playing more of an important role in this. Ma Zeh Biyodecha? What exactly is that in your hand? And with that, the obligation, he says, Amata. Vayome, he says, throw it to the ground. And it's going to become a nochash, it becomes a snake. Oh my goodness me. Vayom Hashem Moshe, shalach yodcha. Now I want you to send out your hand again, pick it up and watch how it changes. Okay. Now you could say, well, it's quite practical because if you're going to throw a snake on the ground, they're obviously going to pick it up with your hand and throw it. But the point I'm showing you is how the hands are once again referring to, and here we go again, Pasuk Vov. Vayom Hashem loy oid. I've got another thing I want you to do. Take your hand, put it into your breast, put it into your chest, and let's going to see what's going to happen to your hand. Now, they're very interesting in all sorts of ways. We know when it comes to Saras, and part of the lesson which was taken from Moshe Rabbeinu is the fact that Lashon Hara, whatever was it. But there's lots of Saras go on the clothes, they go on the body in all different sorts of ways. But the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, take your hand, put it here, and then you're going to come out and let's go and see exactly what's going to happen to it. And then again, you've got an apostolic test. And they didn't listen. They don't listen to these, and they don't listen to it. Then I'm going to go to the Vashavata Yabosha, Vahayyam Mayim Asher Tikach, minayah, then I want you to go to the water. I want you to take out water. And then I want you to take the water and I want you to put the water on the land. And once you've taken it and put it on the land, it turns to blood. That's going to be the third sign as well. So once again, we've got the hands involved in every aspect of what they're doing. So I want to go on a little bit of a journey about hands. As I opened up Su'udeichem Kodesh Avorchos Hashem, that Kirsch has made gloves. We're very involved in the hand industry. And I remember actually it was very, very... my father was once interviewed by Radio 4. And the interviewer was talking about the glove industry in England and the history of it, etc., etc. And the interviewer said to him, Mr. Kirsch, just out of interest, is there any connection between the weather and your glove sales? And my father said, yes, they go hand in hand. And I think the interviewer had the same response as well. But anyway, the point is that it was very much part of our lives. So let's try and understand some suggestions as to what could be going on over here. First of all, hand represents control, right? We use it constantly in our English language. If you, yeah, the matter's in hand, we would say. You sense there's a sense of control, the person's looking after something. And we know that in the Torah itself, it represents control, it represents strength, the Yad of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we've mentioned beforehand. Yamin Hashem, Nederi Bakoch, power, strength. And the flip side, Imeshkochech Yushalayim, Tishkach Yamini. The hand, the power of the hand is an action of hand. But I'd like to focus on a different angle to it, which is that the hand is the how you do your actions, how you do maisa. That's what you have to do. The hand is the aspect of our lives which ensures things take place and happen. And of course, on the deeper spiritual world, there's the world of Machshova, Dibur Mais, and again, those who are learning the Daf will know the whole area of Korbanos and the importance of Machshova, what you think it's going to be, the whole area of Pigel, etc., etc., Dibur, how you decide something, and Maisa, actually the fulfillment of it. And what happens if your maisa is opposite to your machshava? There's lots to speak about on many, many different levels. But we know that the olam that we live in has our thoughts, our speech, and our actions. Baruch sha'omo v'hoi olam, baruch hu, baruch oisei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the being who, in his world, the world of machshava and maisa, all take place at the same time. But within human beings, maisa is putting into actions all the things you hope about, you believe about, you even talk about. At the end of the day, the maisa is the thing that's going to make all the difference in the world. The Mephoshim speak about the fact that it's very interesting that the first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is we wash our hands. And there are lots of... and then we make the coffee, don't forget, not for ourselves, but for... The first thing we do when we wake up in the morning is we wash our hands. And Rav Hirsch, in his Pirush, and many, many speak about what's the significance of starting the day by washing your hands. So traditionally, the area that we know it in, of course, is because of Tumah, because of the Neshama. There are lots of explanations, Poshut, cleanliness, Nekiyus. But if you also look, you'll see that there's a connection between washing hands in the morning, because on one level we're all Kohenim. And the Kohen started off his day by making sure he washed his hands and his feet. And if there are any Levium here amongst us, you should please be very careful that today we no longer need to wash the feet as well, just it's the hands. Sometimes there's a Kohen when you a bit of a rush there. And anyway, but we're leaving that as a side. Rav Hirsch speaks about the concept, by the way, of washing the hands and the feet. He's a very beautiful idea. He says the idea of the feet is that they're going to have to take you to where you need to get to in life. But once you get there, you've got to do what you're supposed to do. Your feet are the lech t'chavaderach, the feet are the insurances, the blessing that we have to make sure we're in the right place in the right time, but don't forget to do the right thing in the right place at the right time. And the connection between the two. A Kohen cannot begin his avodah until he washes his hands. And once he's washed his hands, Only then is the avoda of the day in place. What's the significance of the hands? So one explanation is as follows. A person is not held yadayim in the morning. They take their hands in the morning as if to say, and what am I going to do with you today? I'm not held, I'm taking my hands. Because unfortunately in life, sometimes our hands are led by Yetzer Haras. And we start by start the day saying, no, I'm taking my hands. That which is going to change the world, that which is going to build the world, that which is going to make something happen. I start the day as a Kohen, and each one of us in that respect is a Kohenim, and I'm going to take my hands. Se'u yideichem kodesh. And interesting enough, we lift up our hands because in all our avodah, our job is to raise our game, to raise our hands, to lift up, as if to say, the actions that we do and ensure that they're elevated in everything that's happening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, has made a partnership with each one of us. And he's told us that every day and every opportunity which are given to us, of course the dibur is essential, and of course the machshava is essential. But at the end of the day, the oni needs the stoker. At the end of the day, the oni needs the cup of coffee. At the end of the day, you can think as much as you want and you can speak as much as you want. But at this critical moment when Klal Yisrael is being born, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu entrusts us to bring the world to the fruition that he wants it to be. Our leadership is entrusted, but you've got to take your hands. You've got to be involved in the action, the oilam of mice, of actions, in order to be part of the partnership with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's very interesting. Now's not the time to go into this in detail, but it's very interesting how in so many of our mitzvahs that we use our hands. Just one obvious example this morning when we put on our tefillin. First of all, we put the tefillin shel yad on. And there we put the tefillin shel rosh. But when it comes to taking them off, we take the tefillin shel rosh off. And then we take the tefillin shel yad off. Which means the yad starts and finishes when it comes to our tefillin. In other words, we put on the yad first and we take it off last. The yad is as important and essential as it is that the machshav is directing. We start with the yad, as if to say, and we finish with the yad of how we're going to implement it and bring it into everyday life. It's also fascinating that when you want to see something with actual clarity, then Chazal point out, HaChodesh HaZeh, as if to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing Moshe Rabbeinu, look, can you see this? I'm pointing to it. So there's no confusion. There's no misunderstanding. It's black and white. You can see it absolutely clearly. HaChodesh HaZeh. Can you see it? Everybody understand this? Now you can see it. You've got to act upon it. Go rushing off to Beis HaMikdash and tell them that you've seen the new moon. Zeh Keli Van Vehu. This is my God and I'll glorify him. Chazal say, when you can see and experience God, Chazal point out, what does it mean? Zeh keli vanveu. Do something about it. A sukkah noya, a talis noya, build a base of migdash. It's not enough just to contemplate and consider. We are in the world of maaseh. You change it. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show what would be the menorah is going to look like, the machzis ha-shekel, again, it's always a zeh. Because I'm making very clear to you, I'm pointing with my finger, and now I've shown you what to do. Your job is to implement it. Your job is to do it. And part of the partnership that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that journey of marrying the two things together. It's very interesting that Binyamin is known as Yadid Hashem. Okay, very nice. And of course, Yadid Hashem is two yads together, right? Which, by the way, when you shake somebody's hands and you've got one yad and the other hand together, that's also the gematria of Korach. Yadid stands for Korach. When you have Yadidus, Chof Ches, 14 and 14 is 28, there's a certain connection, there's a certain friendship, there's a certain depth of relationship which builds when you have two together. And fascinating, of course, that Binyamin's, in his portion, is built Beis HaMikdash. And the Mefarshim discuss exactly what schus he wasn't involved in the sale of Yosef. There's a lot to be said about the concept of it. But the whole idea of Beis HaMikdash is through the actions that we do, and of course the dibur machshava is to connect the physical to the spiritual. It's as kaviyochel as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending down his hand to us, and waiting for us to extend our hand as if to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the area of Binyamin as the Yadid Hashem to connect the physical with the spiritual. Of course, and those who worked in the Beis HaMikdash are the Levim, right? Which is the word Levi, of course, means to attach, to connect, to join separate things together. And the job of the Kohen, as the Oev Sholem for Rodev Sholem, was to join people together, and also to join people to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the actions that they're going to be doing. It's always fascinating to me that everybody talks about the Kohen Gadol in Beis HaMikdash. Of course, the Kohen Gadol in Beis HaMikdash was the Olam HaMaaseh. The Machshav and Dibur is essential, but you have to actually do what needs to be done. And that same person was the Oev Sholem for Rodev Sholem in his interactions with other people, was the aspect of the mice in which he did. When the Kohen duchens, the way the Kohen duchens, he spreads out his hand. Now, we don't have time to go on to the aspects of the halachas of duchening, but as the shliach, as if to say, as the intermediary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as if to say, he's taking the brochas and he's acting as a conduit to bring the brochas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. He is the conduit of taking that which he's been using as a vehicle and make sure everybody receives the brochas. But how do you make sure people receive the brochas? On a spiritual dimension, the Kohen puts out his 14 fingers, his 15 fingers, his yad and his yad, as a Yadid Hashem. He puts out his hands to the world. But he's taking that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put in the world, and he's ensuring that everybody receives it accordingly. And though it's a spiritual dimension, clearly, of the bracha, his job is also to do whatever he can and whatever we can to try and ensure that those brachas are fulfilled in the physical level as well. So at the beginning of the Sedra, we pointed out that in building of Moshe Rabbeinu, and bringing Moshe Rabbeinu into the world, the hands play such an extraordinary role. When it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete dominion of the world, the first examples we got was the finger, the hands, and the hands' involvement in each one of these early makos. Perhaps one of the ideas is to explain to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has, of course, complete dominion of the world, but in creating the world, he wants us to play our role in building our relationship with him, and by virtue of doing that, through our hands, building the relationship with all of those around us. Mitzvah Hashem, this should be schus for my wonderful father's neshama, Shlomo ben Yitzchak HaKohen, and all the wonderful people mentioned here. I don't want to steal today's great the people of the dedication. But in Mitzvah Hashem, su yideichem kodesh uvaruches Hashem. Thank you very much.
Very nice. Thank you. Thank you.